ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थितदग्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। ज्ञानकर्मसन्न्यासयोगो नाम चतुर्थोऽध्यायः। So, in this fourth chapter, the very title, every time you say, Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga Nama Chaturtho Dhyayaha. Every time you say, Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga, the very title should remind you of the fact that renunciation of actions is not sanyasaha. Renunciation of actions, giving up activities is not sannyasaha. But renunciation of actions through knowledge is sannyasaha, which means the renunciation is not giving up anything at all. Renunciation does not mean simply giving up something using your will. So renunciation in terms of giving up something is not will involved action. And what is renunciation? Renunciation is actually freeing oneself from the hold of all wrong notions one has about oneself. Because of the right perspective one has of the oneself in the wake of the knowledge of one's own self. Okay? So freeing oneself from the hold of all wrong notions, helplessly, naturally, choicelessly one entertains about oneself. In right perspective, in the wake of the knowledge of the self being distinct from the material body, mind and complex, at the same time self being the pure knowledge and which is the only reality of the whole, thereby which is non-separate from the whole, which is non-separate from the entire material universe, and which alone is in the form of the whole universe. So the very title should remind you. So freedom from the hold of wrong notions one has about oneself means freedom from the hold of ahankaraha. So what is ahankaraha? Aham, asmi, I am, is knowledge of the self, knowledge of the existence of the self, which is highest form of manifestation, which is beautiful. And aham brahma asmi, I the self am the reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, implied by the term brahma. obtaining any of pure knowledge, the pure consciousness, is the total knowledge of the self. Whereas anything you add to I am, which is the erroneous expression, the erroneous perception of oneself, which results in the wrong notion one has about oneself, is ahankaraha. So ahankaraha is the wrong notion one has about oneself. What is wrong notion? I am is knowledge. I am tall, I am fat, I am intelligent, I am a fool, I am dull, I am unhappy, I am sad, I was born, I am going to die, I am immortal, I am insecure, I am inadequate. Anything you add to I am, which is a wrong notion one has, you have about yourself, is ahankaraha, which you have been understand, you know, from the beginning of the Gita class. In the beginning, I've been talking to you this. And that is what is now jnana karma sannyasaha, means renunciation of actions through knowledge. It's a compound word. Jnanena karmanam sannyasaha. Jnanena karmanam sannyasaha. Jnana karma sannyasaha. Renunciation of actions through knowledge means renunciation is not a will-involved act of giving up something. Renunciation is an expression of one's clear vision of oneself being identical with Paramatma. Renunciation of renunciation of actions through knowledge implies that freeing, seeing the fact of oneself being free from the hold of all wrong notions. You don't even become free afterwards. I should not even say that freeing oneself from the hold of seeing the fact of one's real self being free from the hold of wrong notions in terms of ahankara is renunciation of actions through knowledge. And that is actually freedom. So sannyasaha is equal to freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the hold of wrong notions. Which is Jivan Muktihi. And that is the main topic. And Krishna has been talking. And we saw in the topic, in the fourth chapter, Krishna also discusses the yajnaha. And he discusses many yajnaha. And you know very well, the word yajnaha means worship. And worship, which is a symbolic act of offering, through which one expresses one's gratitude to Bhagavan. In the form of all these devatas, who really bless us with everything we need to live this life. And one of the forms of worship is performance of a fire ritual, and through wherein we offer oblations into the fire to the devatas. That's the actually main ritual, fire ritual. But here, worship is not just worshipping the devatas. And such worship is worship of the devatas, is called worship of devatas. Worshipping the devatas means worshipping the natural phenomena which are not looked at as the bundle of mere inert energy or matter. In worship, we are invoking the grace of the Lord in the form of natural phenomena, and in which every phenomenon is looked at as an illumination of consciousness. Therefore, it is known by the term Devata. It is Deva Yajnaha or Devata Yajnaha. It is one of the Panchamaha Yajnaha, five forms of worship. We already discussed Panchamaha Yajnaha, Deva Yajnaha, then Manush Deva Yajnaha, Manushya Yajnaha, Bhuta Yajnaha, Pitru Yajnaha, then Brahma Yajnaha or Rishi Yajnaha. We discussed. A person really follows these fivefold yajnas, and he is involved in five forms of worship. He doesn't worship five different forms. There are five different forms of worship. And the person who follows these five different forms of worship is the one who lives a life of karma yoga, which is completely dharma governed life. And Krishna discusses many yajnas, that how important it is for every human being, first of all, to have the clear understanding of the purpose of living this life. Being definite about the purpose of living this life is very important. And only then he can know the means to accomplish the end also will be clear. When the means to accomplish the end also is very clear, then he will know what is that we need. And the mean, in order to have the means to accomplish the end, one has to focus on one's well-being of one's own mind. So the mental well-being, emotional well-being is very important, which means one has to take care of one's mind. And taking care of one's mind implies what? See that one has Shuddhi, Antahkarna Shuddhi and Antahkarna Naishchalyam. One has emotionally stable to some extent. One is emotionally stable, also relatively pure. And to have this mental purity and steadiness, stability, definitely one has to live a life of dharma and with the proper attitude, which is otherwise called living a life of karma yoga. So consciously living a life of karma yoga alone will help a person prepare his mind for jnanam. Therefore, in Sanskritam I told you many times, purushartha nischayaha. This definiteness about the purpose of living this life. Only then the goal is set, means to accomplish the goal is also set, then you do the needful to prepare the mind. Of course, Shastram is the only means of knowledge of the truth. And knowledge is the means, only means for moksha. See, knowledge of the truth is actually knowledge of your own self, in the light of which you can have that perspective of yourself in the world. My God, in changing a perspective, all the wrong ideas, wrong self, wrong image, wrong notions resolve. That is what is freedom. You don't need to attain anything here. That's what we understood very clearly. But here, and Krishna talks about different yajnas. Why? With the purushartha nischaya, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, and in order to have the knowledge, mind has to become prepared. What does no, the any amount of study will not be useful. If, of course, without the study, knowledge will be impossible. But any amount of study will not be effective if you do not take care of your antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam. And for which certain attitude is also important, dharma is important. And here, if a person lives that life, lives a life of karma yoga, then not only worship is worship, whatever action he performs also becomes worship. So, please understand, for a karma yogi, even karma, any action he performs becomes worship, yajna. For a non-karma yogi, for a karmi, even worship becomes a work, karma, some punya karma. What does it mean? A karma, worship means worship becomes, karma becomes worship means there is a karma yoga. But worship also becomes karma means it's only mere karma. And karma yoga prepares the mind for jnanam. Karma produces punyam with the help of which you can enjoy pleasures in life. But it will not contribute for mental preparation. You may have a lot of punyam and you can enjoy the results of punyam, but it will not prepare your mind for jnanam. So the mind has to be prepared. You have to become emotionally stable, intellectually sharp. No way, no shortcut method. You have to live your life consciously in conformity with dharma. And that is how everything you do becomes worship. And here Krishna, I mean worship means, we call it a yajna. So many yajnas Krishna has been discussing in these verses, fourth chapter, which I have been seeing. Last class we saw, even pranayamaha is a worship. And whatever disciplines, all the disciplines, mentioned many disciplines, practicing disciplines, in order to prepare one's mind, knowing the value of preparing the mind also becomes a yajna. So all the different disciplines are, we have seen already, shamaha, dhamaha, etc. And finally, now we are seeing pranayamaha, we saw in the last class. And please remember, when the disciplines are discussed, when the disciplines are practiced, knowing the value of following disciplines becomes a joy. Without knowing the value of following the disciplines are imposed. And you feel following the disciplines become a burden. Very important thing. And here, it's not that everybody should definitely follow pranayama, but pranayama is nice, it's good to follow pranayama. And I think I gave a lot of information last class on pranayama. Now, today we move on to the next verse.
अपरे नियताहाराः प्राणान् प्राणेषु जुह्वति सर्वे प्येते यज्ञविदः यज्ञक्षपितकल्मषाः अपरे नियताहाराः प्राणान् प्राणेषु जुह्वति सर्वे प्येते यज्ञविदः यज्ञक्षपितकल्मषाः.
The 30th verse, after discussing the pranayama yajna,
practicing pranayama as a yajna. Now he's talking about in this verse, Krishna concludes actually. Here, prescribing the 12th yajna. Until the previous verse, he discussed 11 yajnas. And now he's with this 12th yajna, he concludes the topic of yajna. What is the 12th yajna here? Is apare niyata aharaha. Pranan praneshu juhvati. So here, ahara niyamaha. Ahara niyamaha itself is a form of worship. My God, going to the temples and offering that and offering here, doing this. No. Even niyata aharaha, ahara niyamaha. Ahar niyamaha is also what? One of the forms of worship. One of the yajnas is ahara niyamaha. So you can call it ahara niyama yajnaha. Which means, ahara niyamaha eva yajnaha. Niyamaha means what? Proper eating. Proper, having proper eating habit. Which means for being moderate in eating. Moderation in eating is ahara niyamaha. And people who are moderate in eating, who strictly follow this, are known as niyata aharaha. When I say ahara niyamaha, niyamaha is a noun. Niyata is a participle used as an adjective. So niyata aharaha means people who are moderate in eating. People who are moderate in eating, who strictly follow moderation in eating, are called niyata aharaha. Aharaha niyataha yesham. Te niyata aharaha. Okay. And he says, apare niyata aharaha, other people who are moderate in eating, they also offer juhvati. Juhvati means offer. And what do they offer? Pranan juhvati. They offer the pranas. So people of moderate in eating, offer pranas. So it is not really physically performed fire ritual where they kindle the fire and offer oblations. Simply eating. It is a yajna. But when does this act of eating becomes a yajna? If the moderation in eating is strictly followed, then eating is a yajna. So pranan juhvati, they offer pranas. And into what? Into the fire of pranas. Pranan praneshu juhvati. So the fire into which these niyata aharaha offer is also fire. The fire, the pranas are offered. Little meaning. So, niyata aharaha pranan juhvati. Ke juhvati? See, juhvati is a plural verb. Juhoti, singular verb. Juhvati, plural verb. You have learned in Sanskrit class, gacchati, gacchataha, gacchanti. So here, not juhvanti. Okay, juhvati. Why, how, null? In grammar class, we'll see the difference. Why nakara is not there? That now I'll teach you in language class. So I don't want to do that here. We understand juhvati. So niyata aharaha, subject. Juhvati, verb. Pranan, object. Niyata aharaha, ke juhvati, niyata aharaha juhvati. Niyata aharaha, kim juhvati, kan juhvati. Niyata aharaha, pranan juhvati. Niyata aharaha, pranan kutra juhvati, ke juhvati. Niyata aharaha, pranan pranesh juhvati. So people who are moderate in acting offer pranas into the fire of pranas. So the oblations are pranas, and the fire into which oblations are offered also pranas. Pranan pranesh juhvati. Okay, that with that, with the first line of the 30th verse, the 12th yajna, the final yajna is over. Okay, now, and this is also, this yajna is also very, very important yajna. And this ahara niyamaha, always we have to understand, the ahara niyama is of two stages. I mean, it has two stages. That is, how, see the quantity. First is the quantity. How much I eat. Isn't it? Quantity. The measure of eating. How much I eat. I've taken off the quantity. Then, next, what should I eat? How much should I eat? What should I eat? These two imply where should I eat, how should I eat also. Okay, let that now we'll see. That now we can't say nowadays. In Vedic times, we shouldn't go and eat anywhere. But nowadays, we eat always outside. Okay, so we can't say that. Anyway, at least quantity, definitely quantity and quality. Quality of what you're eating, quantity of what you're eating. That's why this ahara niyamaha has to be understood in two things. And here, so once you decide that I should eat only this much, and definitely, you know, it's not, you don't need to starve, but what, how much you eat. And then, so after food, again, when should I eat? Whole day? 10 times a day? 15 times a day? Or only 3 times? And in between, no snacking? If at all, a snack, no? So all those things you have to take care. So the measuring is very important. What, how much I'm eating? And when I eat also, not only the quantity, also see that I do not eat too rajasic and tamasic food. And which actually we are going to see. And there is a chapter, Bhagavan specifically prescribes. 17th chapter, Gunatray Vibhaga Yogaha. There he will discuss specially about Sattvika Ahara, Rajasa Ahara, Tamasaharaha. So we'll understand all that in that chapter. Anyway. So why we should eat Sattvikahara? Why we should avoid Tamasahara? And what is Tamasahara? How it is, etc. Everything understand later on. So but now you understand here. And there are some people who are strictly following this discipline of eating in moderation. Okay? Eating moderately. So it is, what is the benefit of following this discipline? See, pranan juhvati praneshu. If this discipline in eating, if it is not followed, then all the five, if we do not follow the discipline in eating, definitely, what will be affected first? Our physiological functions. Eating more than what you should eat, or less than what you should eat, eating wrong food, not only the quantity and quality, eating wrong food, improper food, it will result in affecting your physiological functions. No, physiological functions, which means it affects the systems. So our pranas alone fall sick. So prana, it means your physiological functions are affected, means we have unhealthy functions happening in the body. So if any one of the five functions is affected, all the five functions will be affected gradually. Now, even this discipline of something called a pranic healing, people take all the, draw the energy from the cosmic, energy, and they try to use this healing, pranic healing, and people practice. Actually, and in fact, the idea is they make efforts to control through prana. Anyway, that's a different thing. If we don't have right habit of eating, and no pranic healing will help us. Isn't it? That's also very important. So this is the we take it for granted. Really speaking, it's very important discipline. So if there is disharmony, all the physiological functions are not functioning harmoniously. If there's any disharmony in the physiological layer of personality, then the pranic healing people make efforts to correct that. This is the idea behind the discipline of pranic healing. And the food we intake, food which is taken in, the intake, definitely has great, definitely influences the nature of our prana. If a person is given to the discipline, practicing discipline of this, being moderate in eating in terms of quality and quantity, then naturally the pranas, the unhealthy affected pranas, definitely become healthy pranas. Before he said, whatever is offered unto whatever food is offered to pranas, which are unhealthy, actually become the food offered to the healthy pranas. Which means, if we take care of what I'm eating, how much I'm eating, then the food is offered to healthy pranas. If I do not take care, the food is offered to the unhealthy pranas, sick pranas, which therefore what happens, the sickness of pranas is removed, means the sick, the unhealthy pranas also are not there. If unhealthy pranas are not there, there are healthy pranas. If pranas are healthy, then digestion will be perfect. There'll be, and then breathing will be happening properly. Blood circulation will not have any problem. There won't be any problem in circulation of blood. Therefore, all the function of excretion will be proper. So all the functions are happening properly means, then the physiological layer of personality is in proper condition and everything becomes good. Therefore, it may look very simple. See, for a person who is making efforts to have a clean, pure, steady mind, the stable mind and the sharp intellect, for him it's very important to maintain the physical health. And the physical well-being is dependent on having all the healthy physiological functions. The physical body's health is also dependent on what? Physiological functions, well-being of physiological functions. And well-being of physiological functions involves definitely the food. And food alone becomes everything. That is why it may look very simple. Bhagavad Gita, actually Krishna is going to talk about it later on, but now he calls it only as a topic, and under the topic of yajna, this mentions how we should be moderate in eating. Therefore, niyata aharaha, ahara niyamaha is emphasized here, yajna, which is worship. Anyway, and having concluded with this, mentioned this niyata, niyam ahar niyamaha, as also becomes a worship. Only there are people who take care of the food, what they eat, how much they eat, everything they take care. Very careful, because they want to be very healthy. They take care, but no purushartha nischayaha. No commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. They have very good physiological functions. Perfect, everything is in perfect state. So what? That's fine. That's very good for, you can have very good health. But it will not become a yajna. Okay? Without purushartha nischaya, without knowing the value of knowledge, because people are scared of dying, they want to maintain very good health, go to yoga or practice yoga or go to gym and then walk and run and jog and cycle and see that you are physically fit. Do everything and I eat very carefully what I eat, how much I eat and all that. But no purushartha nischaya means it is still a very good discipline. He is a very good disciplined person, which will do good for his maintaining his health, but it will not be called a yoga. It cannot be called a yajna. Why? There's no point. It doesn't involve the mental preparedness for knowledge, because knowledge is not the aim. Moksha is not the goal. It may help a person have some good mental sound mind and all, but still it doesn't contribute for preparedness. Therefore, that's also, that's why every time I have to remind you this. Anyway, so with this, Ahar Name Yajna, 12 Yajnas are over. And in the second line, Krishna concludes saying that Sarve Api Yete, Sarve Yete, Yete Sarve, all these people means who? All these people who are given to the practice of these different disciplines as Yajna, Sarve Api Yet, Api Ete, Yajna Vidaha. Yajna Vidaha means people who practice these different types of disciplines as worship. People who have practiced different types of disciplines as a preparatory disciplines. As sadhana to prepare the mind. Even you can call any discipline as a sadhana in Sanskrit language only if it is a purushartha nischaya is there. So people who practice these disciplines are said to be yajna vidaha. The word yajna vid literally means knower of yajna. But here yajna vidaha means people who practice these disciplines with the purushartha nischaya. Therefore the disciplines become the worship. Okay, yajna vidaha. Sarve yajna vidaha, sarve yete api yajna vidaha, all these people who practice these disciplines, who follow these disciplines, all sarve pyete yajna vidaha, yajna kshapita kalmashaha. They're all people of, serious disciplines, and as a result of practicing these disciplines with the proper attitude, being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, in the purushartha nischaya, what happens? All these disciplines practiced help them neutralize their punya papams. Therefore, as a result, yajna kshapita kalmashaha. Kalmashaha means impurity. Kalmashaha means impurity. Pullinga shabdaha. Kalmashaha, impurity. Kshapita kalmasha. Kshapita. Kshapita means removed, resolved. Literally also means destroyed, removed, resolved. Kshapita is a participle. And kshapitam, kshapitaha kalmashaha means the removed, resolved impurity. But here, we do not mean the impurity, we mean the people here. Yajna kshapita kalmashaha means people who got their impurities resolved, removed through the practice of disciplines as worship. Yajnena kshapita kalmashaha. Yajnena kalmashaha kshapitaha yesham. Those people whose impurities got removed because of their practice of disciplines. So practicing all these disciplines strictly, and with the, if, when they practice disciplines, what is the goal? Mental purity, mental steadiness. Antahkarana shuddhi, antahkarana naishchalyam. Hey Bhagavan, I try my best. I practice all this discipline. Ultimately, what I want is mental purity and mental steadiness. Mental purity, mental steadiness. I practice this for mental purity and mental steadiness. I practice this for mental purity and mental steadiness. Why? Only if I have mental purity and steadiness, I'll be qualified for jnanam. Why should I be qualified? Because I want jnanam. Why do you want jnanam? Because jnanam is moksha. Why do you want moksha? Oh my God, that is my choiceless end. Moksha is my ultimate choiceless end. I need to discover it. And for which? I need to. Knowledge is the only means. Because moksha is my swarupam. I need to know my own real swarupam. And why my swarupam has to be revealed to me only in my own mind, not elsewhere. If the reality of the whole, the abstract truth, has to be revealed to me as my own real nature in my own mind, and it is this mind which has to be steady, sharp and steady, pure and steady, and for which no shortcut method, I have to be disciplined, righteous person. So I follow dharma, and also I strictly follow these disciplines. I do not feel burdened. I feel joy because every time I practice this, I'm 100% I'm sure it's going to help me prepare my mind for jnana. Okay, therefore, and such people by whom all these disciplines were practiced as worship, practiced for with the Purusharth Nischeha. Therefore, all the disciplines became yajna, worship. And now the practice of these disciplines with the Purusharth Nischeha became yajna. And what is the benefit? It resulted in having the impurities resolved. Not absolutely, relatively. Absolutely, all the impurities will be resolved. There will be absolute purity possible only in knowledge. But following the disciplines, living a life of dharma, with the proper attitude, karma yoga, etc., helps me have relative purity. So, yajna kshapita kalmashaha. They become what? They are people who got their impurities removed as a result of practicing, living a life of disciplines. Okay. So all these people,
sarve pyete yajna vidaha, yajna kshapita, yajna kshapita, one word, yajna kshapita kalmashaha.
So Krishna, having discussed the 12 yajnas, finally he tells in one sentence the benefit of converting the practice of disciplines into worship, having Purusharth Nischeha. What now? All their impurities become removed. Okay, now the question may arise. Okay, it helps me, the practicing disciplines, living a life of dharma helps me resolve my impurities. What is the impurity? What do you mean by impurity? What is the kalmasham? What is kalmashaha? What is impurity? Actually, what do we mean by the impurity? See, anything and everything which is there as a pratibandha. Pratibandha means that which obstructs. Pratibadhnati iti pratibandha. That which blocks. That which obstructs is called pratibandha. So anything and everything which obstructs your emotional maturity. Which obstructs your spiritual well-being is spiritual mental maturity required for jnanam, which obstructs your absolute growth. Absolute maturity is impurity. I told you, absolute maturity is possible only in jnanam. Only in the wake of the knowledge of the truth, obtaining as your own self. And you see that the only truth is the truth of the whole world. From the standpoint of which you see how all the divisions and differences also are mithya. All that is, there is only the truth, Brahma, Bhagavan. And in the clear, doubtful vision of the truth, light of the vision, you see all the wrong notions about yourself and the world resolves. That is where moksha is. And that is when you can claim your absolute maturity. You are a person of absolute maturity. You know, in having the right perspective of the world and the self, nothing in the world can affect your happiness. You are absolutely independent. Then you are absolutely, there is absolute purity. So man of vision is the man of absolute maturity. You cannot grow mature anymore. And that is when the whole human life has served its purpose. Complete, meaningful life. Even if you are not going to be a celebrity, an unknown person, dying unknown, doesn't matter. Still, you are a person of absolute success. So, only jnanam, absolute maturity is possible. Until jnanam. But to be qualified for jnanam, you must be relatively mature. Okay, and that relative maturity is possible only when you are living a life of disciplines and dharma. So, Krishna says, anything which obstructs such, and that relative maturity which you want not to be qualified for absolute maturity is said to be spiritual growth. Okay, the emotional maturity required for spiritual vision, wisdom is said to be spiritual maturity. And that maturity is anything which obstructs your maturity required for jnanam is called impurity. If there is jealousy, any degree may vary from person to person. Jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, you know, even little you have, finished, you are even disturbed. Therefore, impurity is that which obstructs your growth. Okay. Therefore, all these sarvani sarvaha kalmashaha shapitaha. Now they got all these impurities resolved. Okay. And this is what? This is possible only through these yajnas. Only through the practice of disciplines which are worship. Worship, different forms of worship. Therefore, all these disciplines are not ordinary. They're really, Krishna praises them actually. Indirectly, we are made to understand in the Krishna indirectly emphasizes the glory of the yajnas. Now, having said that much, Krishna continues. Once you know the benefit of practicing the disciplines as yajna, and you will be interested in practicing them. Don't think it's a waste of time. Don't think it is useless. It is very useful. So Krishna mentions. Okay, next one. Different verse now. Yajnasishtamrita bhujo yante brahma sanatanam. Yajnasishtamrita bhujo yante brahma sanatanam. Nayam lokostyayajnasya. Nayam lokostyayajnasya. Kuto nyah kuru sattama. Nayam lokostyayajnasya. Kuto nyah kuru sattama. Yajnasishtamrita bhujo yante brahma sanatanam. And in this verse, first take the verb yanti. Yati yataha yanti. Yati yata yanti. Yati is second conjugation verb. Yati means gachati, which here means go. Yati is another word for gachati. You can say attain. So I attain. Attain what? He says Brahma. Sanatanam Brahma. Sana Brahma means the absolute reality which is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore implied by the term Brahma. And this reality, Brahma, is what? Eternal. Sanatanam means timeless. Sadatanam is called Sanatanam. Puram asit idanimastis sada bhavishyati. So that which has been, which was, which is, which will ever be. Beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, that which is always is Sanatanam. Sanatanam means what? That which is always is Sanatanam. Always means beginningless, endless, changeless. Timeless, therefore timeless. That's why eternal. So Sanatanam Brahma Yanti. Who attains Sanatanam Brahma? Yajnasishta Amrita Bhujaha. So Yajnasishta Amrita Bhujaha Sanatanam Brahma Yanti. Yajnasishta Amrita Bhujaha subject. Yanti verb. Sanatanam Brahma object. Brahma object. Sanatanam is adjective of Brahma. So, yajnasishta amrita bhujaha sanatanam brahma yanti. Okay. Now, so yajnasishta amrita bhujaha means what? See, we have seen already the word yajna literally means worship. But here, all that one practices, all the disciplines one practices, all the actions one performs, everything one does becomes a yajna if a person has purushartha nischaya. Now, we can say yajna is a worship here, which means all the disciplines. And yajna sishtam means the remains, remaining. When you perform a ritual, we offer oblations to Bhagavan. After offering, after the puja is over, we'll take it back as prasada. When you perform a fire ritual, we offer oblations and we take it back as the remainings. After offering to Bhagavan, what remains is called sishta. Sishtam. Okay, yajna sishtam. And amritam. So, after offering to Bhagavan, whatever remains is sishtam. And that, so after offering to Bhagavan, whatever remains is sishtam. In fact, okay, the result of the act of offering is sishtam. And this sishtam is likened to amritam, nectar. Why? Because it is going to help you attain the immortal reality. Amrita. And bhuj means the eater. Bhuj means eater. Bhuj. The one who eats is called bhuj. Like a book. Book. Book means one who eats. Book means one who eats. And it's a consonant ending word. Book. Bhujau bhujaha. So bhujaha means those who eat. Book is eater. Bhujaha, plural of book. Those who eat. Annabhuk means what? Eater of rice. Ice cream book means what? One who eats ice cream. Pizza book. Like that. Like a book. Now bhujaha. So we're all pizza bhujaha. Those who eat pizza. Okay. Now bhujaha, you'll never forget bhujaha hereafter. Okay. Don't think of pizza now. I want to remember the meaning of the word bhujaha. Okay. Now bhujaha. Amrita bhujaha means those who enjoy amritam nectar. Okay. Nectar of what? Nectar of yajna sishtam. Those who eat, enjoy, partake of the nectar in terms of yajna sishtam. I'll explain this, okay? Literal meaning I have told you. So yajna sishta amrita bhajaha, such people, sanatanam brahma yanti. What he means by the sentence is, people who are vitta purushartha nischaya, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, and focus, have being focused in preparing their mind for jnanam, when the people follow these disciplines and practice these disciplines with the shraddha, which become worship, yajna. And such people, finally, having got their impurities resolved, they become qualified for jnanam, and finally they attain knowledge. So disciplined people becoming qualified for jnanam attain knowledge of the truth. This is the actual meaning. Such a simple sentence, isn't it? But here, yajna sishta amrita bhujaha sanatanam brahma yanti. Why he, Krishna, uses this language? We'll see the explanation. So prepared people who live a disciplined life, as a result of which, practicing disciplines, they become qualified. How do they become qualified? they get all the impurities which obstruct their growth resolved. When the impurities which obstruct the growth are resolved, then growth takes place. When the growth takes place, as a result of the growth, they become qualified for jnanam. And when they are qualified for jnanam, they attain jnanam. They attain jnanam, attainment of knowledge of Brahman is what? Attainment of Brahman. Is it clear? Which means they attain moksha also. And having said that, next time Krishna says, Na ayam lokaha asti ayajnyasya. Na ayam lokostyayajnyasya. Kutonya kuru sattama. He says, Na ayam lokaha. Na plus ayam, nayam. Na ayam lokaha asti. Na ayam lokaha asti ayajnyasya. Ayam lokaha, na ayam lokaha asti means what? Ayam lokaha nasti. Ayam lokaha nasti. Ayam means what? This. This world is not there. This world is not there means even simple pleasures enjoyable in this world is not possible, you know, is not there for whom? For the first person who is ayajnyaha. Ayajnyaha means the person, non-worshipful person. Non-worshipful person or non-performer of worship. Non-performer of yajnas. So ayajnaha means non-performer of worship. Yajnas. So non-performer of worship means non-worshipful person. So for a person who is who does not perform yajnas, non-worshipful, for him, even the pleasures of this world is, enjoyment of pleasures in this world is not possible. Therefore, hey Kurusattama, Kurusattama means, O exalted among the Kuru clan, Arjuna, kutaha anyaha, anyaha lokaha kutaha, where is the question of this fellow enjoying any pleasures of the higher world? So, even this world itself, enjoyment of best things in this world is not possible for him. And enjoyment of the pleasures in higher lokas will be impossible. And jnanam cannot be imagined. And moksha is impossible. See, even to enjoy the pleasures in this world, one must be a worshipful person. So not only pleasure, even to have a prosperous life, one must be worshipful. One must be disciplined. Therefore, the person who is not worshipful, the person who is who does not perform the yajnas, see, a non-worshipful person will be an insensitive person. An insensitive person means the person who does not think that how he is living his life, he does not know how he is living his life means does not know where does the food come from, does not think about it. Where does the food come from? Where does he get the raw material required for his shelter? where does he get his, you know, the raw material required for his clothing? He doesn't think. He's not sensitive. He just enjoys what is available. There's no thinking involved. A non-thinking person. Non-thoughtful person. Therefore, he doesn't know. If he thinks, then he would have got an answer. My God, I do not create anything out of my own, using my physical, intellectual, emotional strength. I cannot create anything here. Everything is, I get everything from nature. And the nature is Mother Prakriti, which is power of Bhagavan. Therefore, nothing is mine here. And every phenomenon I see here is Devata Ishvara. And that appreciation comes only then he can be grateful. He can express the gratitude. Only then he can enjoy the benefit of, enjoy all that is given by the Devatas. So when he doesn't have anything, naturally he is not qualified to enjoy the prosperity. Therefore, of course, because some punyam helps him to live his life, to keep going. He also lives, he also eats, he also works, he also earns. But still, there's a sensitivity on his part. So Krishna says here, for a worshipful person is not a mechanical person, a thoughtful person. Worshipper means, so being religious means being worshipful and prayerful. And being worshipful and prayerful means being thoughtful of what is being enjoyed, what is being given, and seeing the fact of everything being given, and seeing the fact of how much everyone is consuming, and seeing the fact of everyone being a consumer. It involves a lot of thinking. Only then even humility is possible. Humility begins there. And absolutely, the humility is only when you see the fact of all that is, there's only Bhagavan. Where am I? I am not here. There's no, neither I nor the world. All that is, there's only the truth, only Bhagavan. It is being blessed with this vision is absolute humility. Until then, we try to be, okay? There's no real humbleness. Otherwise, once you recognize this fact that I'm given, everything is given to me, there you become relatively humble. So sensitivity, thoughtfulness, relative humility is all possible. Now, must be there only for a person to be worshipful, to be religious. It's not mechanically being. So being worshipful, a person cannot be worshipful mechanically. If we call a person, he's worshipful, but he's not very thoughtful, you say, out of God, he's afraid of God. God-fearing person. He feels very insecure. And he wants to feel good. For emotional well-being, he is worshipful and prayerful. He goes to temple and comes like that. It's okay. But actually, what Veda calls, looks at, now if you are a worshipper, means you're highly thoughtful, sensitive person. You're conscious of what you're enjoying in the world, what you're consuming in the world. Therefore, naturally, you are inclined to contribute something possible on your part. He's a worshipper. So Krishna says, only such a person can live his life, practice all the disciplines. Whatever he does, ஈஸ்வரார்ப்பிதம் ஈஸ்வரார்ப்பிதம். Anything he does, ஈஸ்வரார்ப்பிதம். Any discipline practice is ஈஸ்வரார்ப்பிதம். Then offered to Bhagavan. Offered unto Bhagavan to prepare my mind. Antakkarana Shuddhyartham Idam Namama. This is for mental preparation. Then if the Dharachit thinking is there, that is when it becomes a Yajna. Okay? Therefore, if that, if a person is not worshipful, imagine a simple ordinary person who just lives, does things, and only Purusharth Nischaya is not, Artha Kamas are the ends. Do, work hard, earn, enjoy, have a holiday all the time. Means there's a sensitivity. He may be religious, but still he is not spiritual. So being religious without being spiritual is as good as what now? Being a non-worshipper. Being a worshipper without being spiritual means as good as being a non-worshipper. Being spiritual, you are a worshipper, then you are really a worshipper. You are a thoughtful person. Okay, anyway. So, if a person is not worshipful, he does not perform yajnas, then such a person, I am lokaha nasti. This world is not there for him. He purusattama kutaha anyaha lokaha. If this world is not for him, where is the question of other world, enjoyment of other world? Is the meaning of this verse. Literal meaning of this verse. Okay. So what Krishna discusses here is that if a person is given to the practice of any of these disciplines, one need not be, cannot be given to the practice of all these disciplines. The person is given the practice of any of these disciplines, then and thereby he also eats what he needs to eat to survive in this world, the food properly. Then it becomes a yajna. See, do follow these disciplines and after following these disciplines, after practicing this, any of these yajnas, if a person eats properly, then he becomes the one who eats the nectar of the remainings of worship, the prasadam of worship. Krishna mentions here mainly because what is said in the Shastram, Krishna also repeats here. You don't forget, Bhagavad Gita only repeats what is already said in the Shastra, Upanishads, in Gita, Veda. So what is that which is said in the Shastram? Eating is not the first thing we do when the day begins. You begin your day with the first eating. Get up in the morning, ask, go straight to the kitchen, eat food. Do you do that? Eating is not the first thing we do in the morning. when you get up from sleep, not even drinking, okay, you know, first thing we do in the morning, then what should you do? First of all, when do we get up? No? Suryodayat Prak. London sun doesn't rise until 11 o'clock. That's very convenient. Suryodayat Prak means before the sun rises, you should be up. Isn't it? And here we say, Suryaha Pratyaksha Devata. Sun is, Bhagavan is in the form of directly perceptible sun. Pratyaksha Devata. Sun is the Pratyaksha Devata. You can directly perceive the sun. So, we don't need to go in for such a Bhagavan. Bhagavan is very much in front of you in the form of sun. And sun is here. Sun doesn't rise and set. But whenever we wake up from sleep and we see the sun. And first, Surya being the Pratyaksha Devata is a great blessing. Therefore, before the sun rises, we must be there to welcome Bhagavan in the form of sun. It is not, don't think I'm simply telling this cock and bull story. This is the idea revealed in the Shastra. Because welcoming an atithi is very important in our culture. Atithi, when the atithi comes, you can't go and hide yourself at the backyard. You have to, the atithi comes means you have to be ready there to receive with the padyam, argyam, achamaniyam, everything. Therefore, and Surya Bhagavan in the form of sun comes as your atithi. And we have to receive him properly. Which means you must be clean also by then. You can't be dirty. You can't be in the unclean clothes and all that. You must have had a shower and all that. It's all part of how the Shastram teaches us. Therefore, the person who is given to that live a life of disciplines. The person who's given to the practice of disciplines, the person who's given to this discipline of worshipping, and he is called Sayajnaha. Ayajnaha, the non-worshipper. Krishna doesn't mean Sayajna, I'm just giving you, okay? The person, worshipful person, the person worshipful person and the person of yajnas. This person definitely rises much before the sun comes. And before he starts doing anything and before eating or doing anything, definitely, he will begin his day with his worship and prayers. A worshipful person definitely will begin his day with his worship and prayers. Okay, and before even he starts the act of worshipping, he must first become clean. Not to be clean, because worship is an offering and he must be keen to offer, and therefore he has to bathe, has to have a shower, and here even bathing having shower is worship. Snanam eva yajnaha. Even snanam, oh, you know, you have to know snanam. What is the verb? Snanam is a noun. Bathing. Having shower. But here, snati is the verb. For your information, okay? Snati is a verb. Snanam is a noun. So, the bathing becomes the first and the foremost of the yajnas. So whether it's a cold weather, a hot weather, whether pleasant or not, however it is, okay, bathing must be in the morning. Not any time you want to, in the, during the day. Definitely not. Now I'm very sick. Shastra gives an exception. If you're very old, if you're sick, and if you're children, you know, for them, certain exceptions are there. Then they can have a little later. Not that they don't bathe at all. Little later. But not until lunchtime. But may not be before sunrise. After sunrise, after little later, they can have. People who are sick and all, given exception. Anyway. So why I want to tell you how that's also yajna. Which other culture has this? Even snanam is yajna. That is why when you go into the bathroom, and first to invoke the grace of Bhagavan there. First you want this water be, first Ganga, this water is Ganga. You ask Ganga to be there in that water. You know why? Because Ganga symbolizes knowledge. I want mental cleansing, absolute mental purity for which I need jnana. And before, for that, I need to live a life of dharma. I need relative purity. And to have dharma and jnanam, I'm living this life. So let this body, the cleansing of the body, you think of what? I need this body to be healthy, clean, to live this life for mental purity and mental steadiness, ultimately for jnanam, which is absolute purity. That's why there's a verse, Gange Chamune Chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindhuka Veri Jalesmin Sannidhim Kuru Om Namo Bhagavati Gangai Jnana Pravahinye Shastra Rupinye Shastra Surupinye Matre. We invoke all the rivers, important rivers in India. Your bucket of water is Ryan River water or Thames River water, still it can become Ganga if you chant. If you think in your mind, it becomes Ganga. Ganga, you just take the Ganga. Sitting away, from thousands and thousands of miles away, Ganga from Himalayas can go and gets into your bucket. Just by thinking of it. We invoke. Why? Snanam is a yajnaha. That's a worship. As an act of offering. And this bathing actually involves two things. What is that? Bathing has to, snanam is for physical, for removal of physical impurity. And this removal of physical dirt, impurity, is only an incidental thing. Whereas, the cleansing of inner, internal impurities of the mind, is the second thing. And every day we do gather some dirt, physical impurity and also mental impurity. Because when we are helpless, we are naturally born ignorant people. And we had to mix in the world. And you get up in the world, you're fresh, and you meet the people, you interact with the world, you perceive objects, and you know that all you have learned, you know, matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkha daha. And sense organs come in contact with corresponding objects, naturally there'll be pairs of opposites. And ultimate results in what? There'll be impurity in the mind, impurities gathered in your mind. You wear clean clothes after shower, and you go out, and the whole day you're out, come back, definitely come back with a lot of dust, come back with a lot of dirt. Similarly, not your physical, you bring, come back physically impure and dirty. You also bring a lot of stuff in your mind. When go in the morning with different thoughts, come back with different thinking, isn't it? It's natural, very, very natural. Therefore, and what happens in a place where you went, whom you meet, whomever you met, and the conversation you had, and the work in workplace or anywhere, naturally you pick up lots of stuff. You come back, definitely, our dealing with people, situations, externally, involves what? Definitely certain degree of anger, jealousy, hatred, anxiety, fear. Okay. Impurities obtaining in the things collect and come back. Now that you want to collect, helplessly, choicelessly, you collect and come back. Therefore, every day in the morning, I first remove them. Water collected yesterday, I remove. Again, every day collect and come back newly. It's a very natural thing. Therefore, whenever I have a shower and wash all the physical impurities from my physical body, so also simultaneously, you know, I see that I cleanse my mind also. I see that impurities of the mind also are removed and mind is kept clean. The mind is cleansed, kept clean. Oh, it's time. I'm sorry. I didn't think about it. Okay, I haven't completed one verse. Anyway, let me finish it now soon. In 2 minutes, I'll finish. That's why even in the bathroom, when you see the water, first, even water, think of Ganga. First, bow to Ganga. Bow to Namaskaram to tap me, Namaskaram to Ganga. Namaskaram to Ganga, Namaskaram to Bhagavan of water. There, Jala Namaskaraha. You are offering salutations to Bhagavan, the Him of water. Don't do Sashtanga Pranama there in the small bathroom. The attitude, idu namaste. It may look funny, isn't it? Why do I bow to water? Yes, we do bow to water. We just think of water, bucket water, all this. You know, and you never put your water there first. Little. Then you pray, then you offer. In fact, for Vaidikas, there are some mantras to be recited before the snanam also. The day begins with mantras, isn't it? There are mantras, specific mantras. Snana samaye, vaktavyaha mantraha. There's a mantra which had been recited when you go for snanam. And If you want to know, I can say, I have taught you some sukta. We have learnt already in chanting class, Medha Suktam, Durga Suktam. Now we are doing Purusha Suktam. Like many suktams. Whether we have time to learn all the mantras or not, Vedas are so huge. At least few mantras you want to learn. So we are learning now Purusha Suktam. And there's another suktam called Aghamarshana Suktam. Aghamarshana Suktam. Agha means papam. Marshana means removal. Suktam. As a suktam consisting of mantras for the removal of papam. Papam means what? The papam, no, the wrong actions. This is of wrong actions which you go through in the form of entertaining emotions, which, no, really you go through only when you interact with the world. As see, interaction, our interaction with the world is instrumental for us to go through our emotions. The world does not cause the emotions. World is instrumental in triggering the emotions from our own subconscious. And they're all what? Impurities of the mind. Why do we go through this? The results of our papa karma. Agha. Therefore, Agha Marshana Suktam we have, and there we invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of water as Varuna Devata. Why? Because Varuna is Varunaha. Varunaha, not Varnaha. Be careful. Varnaha means color. Varnaha means aksharam, letter. But Varunaha, not Varnaha, Varunaha. Varuna Devata is the Jala Devata. Means the presiding deity of the element called water. And then, so, in when bathing, we say, "Oh Lord, I'm going to have now, I'm going to bathe now." Therefore, and now I address you. You address Bhagavan, who is in the form of water, Varuna Devata. And that, whatever wrong things you have done yesterday, please tell them, Bhagavan. And please forgive me for all the unknowingly or knowingly, helplessly, uncontrollably, whatever I did, please forgive me all that. At least we have some nice, let me continue next class, okay? Aghamarshana Sukta. I stopped there, I'll continue from next week. Just I mentioned about Aghamarshana Sukta. And how these Aghamarshana Sukta also we chant, you know, when we go to first, before we take shower. Oh my God, this is looking at me. Swaminiji always taught us to chant mantras. Now even in bathroom, yes. If moksha becomes the purushartha, jnanam is the purushartha, Bhagavan is the ultimate goal of life. Your day, when you open your eyes, your day begins with the worship and prayer. If you are spiritual and you are choicelessly religious, without being spiritual, you are religious, I would appreciate that, okay? Like we'll see next class. Anyway, I have to teach you this verse. I remember that. This whole verse, I'll come back to you, okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.